In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. We hear a few more presentations from individuals who are standing up against the experimental shot mandates and the fundamental attacks against personal freedom. We hear from Dr. Ryan Cole, Dr. David Martin, and Dr. Julie Poness. First, we hear from Dr. Ryan Cole, who gave a presentation showing images of tissue damage from those who have taken the experimental shot. Let's have a listen.
So who is this random doctor on stage? I'm Dr. Ryan Cole. I'm a Mayo Clinic trained board certified anatomic pathologist, clinical pathologist, dermatopathologist, way too many years of school. Also did some PhD research in immunology. So immunology, virology is right up my alley. So if you want mechanisms of action and how things work and whatnot, go ahead and pick my brain. Okay, what about the spike protein? We're giving a sequence, a gene sequence, into the bodies of human beings. And this sequence goes into our deltoid, and we're informed that it has a little anchoring protein, and once that is translated and makes a little protein and it's on the surface of your cell, it stays there. Well, guess what? It doesn't. And there are studies, and of course the fact checkers are like, oh, this isn't true. I'm a scientist. Don't ask the journalist, ask the scientist. Okay? So this spike protein doesn't stay just in the deltoid. The spike circulates in your blood. It lands in multiple organs in the body. And you know what happens? That spike protein, without the body of the virus present, we did studies in lab animals. In the lab animals, just in injecting the spike, with no body of the virus, the spike induced the same disease as COVID-19 induced, the same lung disease, the same vascular disease, the same heart disease, the same brain disease. The spike is the toxin. So again, why are we injecting something into the human body that is the toxin? It is the toxin. It causes the disease. This isn't a vaccine. Okay, so we know that the virus, everybody's heard about this ACE2 receptor. Here's an example. So on the left-hand side, this is one of the cells that lines your blood vessels. I'll show you a chart in a minute where we have ACE2 receptors. So on the left-hand side, you see kind of in the corner of that upper grid and the bottom grid, these nice smooth lines. On the right-hand side, this is what the spike protein, just the spike alone from the vaccine, is doing to the mitochondria of your cells. That's the engine of your cells. That's what gives you energy, the power of your cells. Compare the smooth, nice, put together. Compare the right, blown apart, fragmented. That's from the vaccine, not from the virus, from the vaccine. Okay, so here's the human body. You can see the plethora of sites where we have ACE2 receptors. Now think about it. I mentioned they tell us, oh gosh, the spike stays in your deltoid. It doesn't. It circulates. In the Harvard study in 13 nurses, they showed it circulating for at least 2 weeks. A lot of people lack something called mRNAs, an enzyme that breaks down the RNA. So it may be circulating for even longer. Now you hear, well, gosh, they died, you know, just so long after the shot. So, you know, it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Hank Aaron, whoever. You know what? That spike's circulating. They tried to pull the wool over our eyes and say, well, it couldn't have been the shot. We're too far out. Not if the toxin's still circulating. Not if the toxin's still circulating. The spike is the toxin. Damage to the lungs, like I mentioned. On the left-hand side, healthy lung tissue, nice spaced out. See, this is what pathologists do. We look at all these cells all day long. It's kind of fun. We're nerds this way. On the right-hand side, see how much more purple and blue that is? That's all inflammation. Why? ACE2 receptors in that lung, spike binding to it, inflammatory response, immune system attacking your own body, disease from the spike, disease from your own clot shot, investigational vaccine. They keep lying to the American public by calling it a vaccine. They keep taking the word investigational off. It's what they call it in the emergency authorization. They keep not calling it what it is, investigational, an experiment on humanity. And that's what they're doing, and I'm showing you why. Spike is a toxin. crosses the blood-brain barrier. Kind of like my brain cells to be where they are and not be blown apart, right? So why in the world would we put a toxin into the human body that's going to disrupt the blood vessels in your brain, allow the spike in there, it'll cause inflammation? The brain fog you hear about from the COVID patients, guess what? You hear about it in the post-vaccinated damaged individuals as well. But no, nobody's hurt by the shot. There's not been one death. There's not been one injury. That's what they tell you. It's a lie. And this is science. Okay, here we go. That's all the blue on top. Those are brain cells. All the blue doesn't belong there. That's inflammation from the spike. What about the kiddos? Heart inflammation. Guess what? Lots of ACE2 receptors in the heart. Here you can see on the left-hand side, see those blue arrows around the white? That's inflammation in the heart. That's not normal. That's after a shot. That's a spike protein landing there. That's your immune system attacking your own tissues. See on the right, that's the red arrows. That's the pericardium, the sac that surrounds your heart. That's inflammation. That doesn't belong there. Once you have heart damage, the heart does not heal itself. Okay, left-hand side, all the blue dots, inflammation. See that gray in the middle? That's early scarring. Guess what? Once a heart cell is damaged, it's damaged forever. It doesn't replace itself with another heart cell. It replaces itself with a scar. So you tell me you want to give a 12-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 13-year-old, an 18-year-old a shot, and we see about a 200 times increase in myocarditis in our society right now? That's a good idea. Let's give a kid a toxin, ruin his heart for life. Stop and think about what we're doing. Insanity. We need to stop the insanity immediately. This is over. Game over. This is no longer good science. This is a poisonous attack on our population, and it needs to stop now. Kidney, same thing. Kidneys are kind of important. Three things in life. Blood goes round and round. Got to breathe. Got to make pee. You don't do those three things, you die. Kidney, you want to damage your kidney with a clot shot? Not a good idea either. Liver, kind of need your liver to detoxify everything in your life. Same thing. Damage to the liver. See all that blue? That's inflammation. Doesn't belong there. Testes, kind of important for the next generation, right? As much as that looks like a lovely heart, see all the blue in it? Inflammation. Same thing in the ovaries. Here's the problem. Essentially absent from the literature, what are they hiding from us? Okay. Japanese biodistribution study took some doing to find this study. Dr. Bridle up in Canada, and of course he was attacked for telling the truth. The lipid nanoparticle that surrounds the little mRNA they're injecting into people's bodies, yes, a lot of it stays in the deltoid, but it circulates as well. Guess where it likes to concentrate? A really biologically active organ, the ovary. And in the Pfizer paperwork and application, it clearly states that in the rats, there was a 16% decrease in fertility. One of the most fertile little critters, mammals on the planet. And these are not the droids you're looking for, never mind. So what's it doing to humanity? Guess what? The answer is, we don't know. Because we don't have long-term safety data yet. That's the tragedy and the crime in all of this. They're pushing it. It's an experiment. It's emergency authorized. It's not approved. Humanity is the phase 3 trial. COVID's a clotting disease, as some of my colleagues have mentioned. After a shot, we as physicians, especially a patient complaining of post-vaccine symptoms, a D-dimer will go up when we have clots. We can't see these clots on x-ray or scan. These are microclots. All these inflammatory patterns that I'm showing you are from microclots as well. If we look at this in the patients, we know that they're microclotting. So this is something Dr. Nordhausen, just like Dr. Ursa mentioned, patient who has already had COVID, COVID recovered, broad, beautiful immunity. They're lying to you to say that it's not equal to a vaccine immunity. I love the blue pen rainbow analogy Dr. Ursa gave. Screened before vaccine, there's a multiple-fold increase risk of adverse reactions. If you've had COVID and are recovered, you get a shot, you hyper-rev that immune system, you may be screwed and or dead. All right, I'm going to reiterate, one cannot find that for which they do not look. Billions of dollars spent on advertising of, again, a toxin into the human body. Investigational vaccines. Again, I will say to our agencies, our federal government, where's the funding for real science? They don't want you to see what we're seeing. In the laboratory, I have the tissues of a dead man on the back of my desk. I have two more coming next week. Guess what? Just a couple days after a shot. 50-year-old healthy triathlete. One of my favorite surgeons in town that I worked with, second shot, mountain biking gone. All right, the other concern I already brought up, we have no long-term safety data. This is what we need to emphasize to society and ask the authoritative agencies. What's the risk for cancer after the shot? We don't know. What's the risk for autoimmune disease? We don't know. What's the risk for impairing fertility for a lifetime? We don't know. So why in the world will we willy-nilly push forward at the pace and the rate that we're going without knowing these things? Complete anti-science and a complete attack on us. No more mandatory forcing of employees. How in the world are these hospitals and these employers saying, you can't work for me if you don't sign up to be a subject in an experiment on humanity? Go back to the 1947 Nuremberg Code. We're absolutely violating this as a nation and a people. Where are the billions to do the autopsies? Where are the billions to prove the science? Where are the autopsies? I will go back. Crickets. They're not there. Dismissal by the collusive media of any adverse events or death. That's a problem. And what happened to the concept of the Me Too movement? Believe everybody. What happened to believe her? Believe the story. What happened to believe anyone? Why won't they believe the science? They won't believe the science. They dismiss the science. What happened to this movement of believe it until you can disprove it? Gone. Gone. All right, a couple side-by-side notes. Really critically, and I'm almost out of time, what we're seeing in the laboratory is the shots dysregulate your immune response. We have very important cells that keep other viruses in check, that keep cancers in check. There's a type of cell called a CD8 killer T cell. Well, there's a study out of Germany and the Netherlands that showed a shifted immune profile. And at the end, their conclusion was, we see a concerning pattern of the cells we normally need to fight off these other things. But the answer is, we don't know for how long that shifted pattern lasts. It's like having eight blockers on the front line. This is Texas, we can talk football. Having eight blockers on the front line and paralyzing three or four of them. But the answer is, we don't know if they're paralyzed for the rest of the game or the rest of their career. And then what we see from this in the laboratory is an uptick of herpes family viruses, molluscum, human papillomavirus, all sorts of viruses, mononucleosis, et cetera, reactivating. Reactivating at levels, and I'm a pathologist, so we see this in the laboratory, and I'm seeing the early signal. Well, guess what else that CD8 cell does? And some receptors on some of these T cells called toll-like receptors, and there's a certain pattern of them. They keep cancer in check. I have seen a 10 to 20-fold increase of uterine cancer in the last 6 months in my laboratory. And I keep data year to year to year. In the last 6 months, when did we start the shots? January. How much solid tumor cancer increase are we going to see over the next several years? Probably a lot. What's the real answer? We don't know. And sometimes that's the most honest answer in medicine, is we don't know. A doctor that tells you he or she knows everything, don't believe him. Find a new doctor. Increase of latent viruses, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I know I'm out of time for questions. Thank you so much, and God bless.
That was Dr. Ryan Cole speaking about the visible organ and tissue damage caused by taking the experimental shot. We go now to hear part of a fiery presentation by Dr. David Martin, a speaker, author, businessman, and inventor. Dr. Martin has been punching holes in the pandemic narrative from day one. Let's have a listen.
So here we go. I cannot be on stage anywhere without asking you first and foremost, do not participate in the propaganda of this conspiracy. Number one, there is no SARS coronavirus 2. There is a bioweapon that in 1999 was paid for by Anthony Fauci, was patented at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill in 2002. It was the recombinant coronavirus, which had the following protocol that was actually a bioweapon created by NIAID for this very moment. And that bioweapon was an infectious replication defective, their words, not mine, infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus. 1999, people, this bioweapon was engineered to destroy humanity. And if we started talking about a bioweapon and not a vaccine or a virus, we'd get a lot of progress. Number two, there is no COVID-19. There is influenza-like illness. And that influenza-like illness has been around for a long time and will be around for a long time. When the World Health Organization invented the notion COVID-19, it is the first disease in human history to have no clinical diagnostics. None. It's diagnosed by committee and symptom, because we had to make up the term asymptomatic carrier, which does not exist. You are healthy. That's what you are, because you're human. That's it. You are not an asymptomatic carrier of anything other than their nonsense. Stop using their language. And fourth, and most importantly, there is no vaccine. There is a bioweapon that is being injected, which was engineered, and I want you to read this on the screen behind me, because this is from 2015. Peter Daszak, the very man who is the Wuhan money launderer in chief for Anthony Fauci, the very man who violated the United States law by outsourcing gain-of-function research, except for UNC Chapel Hill, which kept it going legally because they got an exemption from Anthony Fauci to a moratorium. Did you hear what I just said? An exemption to a moratorium. Doesn't feel like a moratorium if there's the, oh, by the way, we told you not to do it. Keep doing it. In 2015, this quote was made by Peter Daszak at the National Academy of Sciences. Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at the emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. To sustain public funding. Do you hear him say to sustain public health? No. To sustain public funding beyond the crisis, he said, we need to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. Did you read what's on this screen? 2015. The conspiracy of domestic terror was publicly declared. And you guys think this started in December of 2019 when a bat and a pangolin walked into a bar in Wuhan and hung out and went on a bender? You're supposed to believe that story, except for the conspiracy was published. These are their own words. And by the way, before you actually think that I'm making this up, let's read the next sentence, shall we? A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. Hold on a second. The economics, I thought we were talking about public health. The economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the admission of 5 felonies in the United States. 5. I'm going to unpack them for you, so stay with me. This is the admission of 5 felonies in the United States, and not a single governor, not a single Department of Justice member, not a single U.S. attorney, not a single attorney general, not a single elected official in this country will actually allow this quote to go into the public record. So guess what? It's on you to do it. This is the quote that you need to send to every single elected representative, every single appointed representative, every school board. This is an admission of a felony criminal conspiracy to kill and maim Americans. And you know what you guys did in 2016 when this got published? Anybody?
Nothing.
That's when the criminal conspiracy was made public. And this is one that's going to be very awkward for many of you to embrace, but I don't care. Sometimes we have to embrace a hard truth. On September the 18th, 2019, anybody following the numbers here? September 18th, 2019, the World Health Organization in their Global Preparedness Monitoring Board gathering got together and said that we need to create a global simulation of the release of a respiratory pathogen, which was going to go from September of 2019 to September of 2020, a global campaign. The day after that document was published, President Donald Trump signed this executive order, and I want you to read what's in this executive order. This vaccine platform technologies include DNA, mRNA, virus-like S-particles, vector-based, and self-assembling nanoparticle vaccines. The day after the Chinese NIAID and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in criminal conspiracy, in interlocking directorates, in racketeering, declared that they were going to declare war on the world, Donald Trump signed an executive order actually mandating that the toxin be released on the public. Right there it is, in his own executive order. Now, listen to what I have to say. Did he premeditate that executive order? No. But we must be careful, people, because it doesn't matter which one among us stands in positions of authority, we must embrace the reality that if we are not accountable for every word that we say, every action we take, we open up ourselves to compromise. And if we are going to win the campaign for the hearts and minds and livelihood and soul of this country, we must commit ourselves to absolute integrity. No exceptions. Zero exceptions. Now, this is the slide that Clay warned you about. The good news is if you download the Fauci dossier, which you can download online, you can actually see a lot of this, but this is the one to take the pictures of. This is the one you do not want to let go because on the left-hand side are felonies punishable by 99 years in prison and up to $100 million per incidence fine. Anybody think that Anthony Fauci should be 99 years in prison and $100 million fine for every violation he's committed? I think so too, but let's go through them. 18 U.S. Code, Section 2339C, funding and conspiring acts of terror. Ladies and gentlemen, since he took his position as the highest paid federal employee in our country, Anthony Fauci has had $191 billion that have passed through his fingers. $191 billion of your money has gone through his fingers to build and finance terror. 18 U.S. Code, Section 2339C, funding and conspiring to commit acts of terror, dead to rights, he's done it. 18 U.S. Code, Section 2331 and following, acts of domestic terrorism resulting in the death of American citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, Section 802 of the Patriot Act makes it abundantly clear that you cannot legally compel a population to do anything out of fear or coercion. Anything. That includes losing your job. That includes not going to school. That includes not going to your churches. That includes not being the leadership of churches that is blackmailed into saying that it's okay to take a bioweapon because God said it was okay. And what would Jesus do? You cannot do that. Conspiring to commit acts of terror includes people who allegedly claim ignorance. You know what you cannot claim in a felony criminal case? I didn't know what I was doing. You know what? You did know what you were doing. and you are liable for what you did. 18 U.S. Code Section 1001, lying to Congress. Hey, people, if you do one thing out of this meeting, please do the following. Do not donate another dollar to Rand Paul. And I'm telling you why. Rand Paul has on three occasions had the criminal evidence against Fauci in his possession. I know because we had it delivered to him. That's how I know he has it. And three times, he has actually cross-examined Anthony Fauci. He has actually gotten Anthony Fauci to lie to Congress. And not one time has Rand Paul delivered a knockout blow by presenting the felony evidence and getting the Capitol Police and the FBI to cuff Fauci and walk him out of the Congress. Guess what? Rand Paul is using his faux fight with Fauci as a way to raise money for his campaign. That's monetizing an act of terror. That's not being a patriot. And if you want to get really clear on this, send the Rand Paul campaign a little note saying, happy to donate when you deliver the knockout blow. Little side note. On 18 U.S. Code Section 1001, and this is an important one. In October of 2020, while we were all talking about masks or social distancing or whether or not a vaccine would ever be developed and all that kind of nonsense, while we were being distracted, the Department of Health and Human Services was required by Congress to send a report to Congress in which NIH was supposed to disclose all of their financial interest in COVID-19 patents. For those of you who are listening, there are over 4,000 patents derived from U.S. government-funded research. And under the Bayh-Dole Act, those patents have margin rights for the United States government and financial interest to the agencies that gave the grants. Got it? In October of 2020, when that report was delivered to Congress, Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci lied to Congress in a written report, failing to disclose 100% of their financial interest in COVID-19. They lied to Congress, and you know what? No one did. Nobody held them accountable. Guess what you can do? You can actually encourage every one of your elected and appointed representatives, you can encourage everyone that you know to either act or keep harassing them until they do act. Because this information is your responsibility now, because now you know it. You cannot plead ignorance either. 15 U.S. Code Section 1 through 3, which is conspiring to commit a criminal activity. This is where it gets a little deep, but stay with me. 125 years ago, we were worried about names like Rockefeller and Carnegie and all these other names. We were worried about them because it turns out that 70 people ran over 80% of the businesses in America. We said that wasn't okay. And we developed two very important laws, the Sherman Act and the Clayton Act, antitrust laws. We used those laws, by the way, to go after organized crime in the 1920s, along with the Internal Revenue laws that we also used to go after organized crime. But 15 U.S. Code Section 1 through 3, the conspiring to commit a criminal commercial activity is something that since 1999, Anthony Fauci, Ralph Baric, and Peter Daszak have all been engaged in this. They can be arrested tomorrow if any single member of law enforcement actually is paying attention to their sworn oath and their duty to uphold the Constitution. 15 U.S. Code Section 8, market manipulation and allocation. Does anybody remember in April of 2020 when Anthony Fauci sat in the president's Oval Office and talked about how Moderna was going to be the mysterious savior of the world, despite the fact that Moderna had never produced a safe commercial product in its entire operating history? Anybody? You remember that? What you don't remember is that in 2010, when Moderna was started, it was the 10th anniversary of the funding that actually started Moderna. And you don't know what the funding that started Moderna is because nobody talks about it. Because the funding that started Moderna was the National Science Foundation grant called, and I'm ready to deliver the bad news to you, Darwinian Chemical Systems. That's where Moderna comes from. And let's go back and take a little time machine journey 22 years in the past. Let's jump into that grant application and let's ask the question, Darwinian chemical systems. Hey, Dave, why would somebody want to invent Darwinian chemical systems? Well, let's read it, shall we? If we open up the grant and we read the grant, it says that in a post-extinction event, anybody comfortable? You guys all good with post-extinction events? In a post-extinction event, we want to see if we can get mRNA to write into DNA the code to start human evolution again. That's the 10-year grant that started Moderna. So every fact checker at PolitiFact and Reuters and USA Today and every fact checker anywhere in the world overlooks a very inconvenient reality. The inconvenient reality is Darwinian chemical systems was to use RNA to write into the DNA of life. And now you're told, oh, no, Dave, that can't happen. The thing we inject doesn't write into life. Except for the fact that the 20-year funding record of the company that's actually doing it proved that that's what happened. Is anybody uncomfortable with a bioweapon known to write into life an extinction event of life? That feels uncomfortable to me. And I think if we actually went to every vaccine location and actually put up, this is not a vaccine, it's a bioweapon, and then added, by the way, this is a bioweapon formed for a post-extinction rewrite of the human genome, I think a few people would actually pause for a second and go, well, I didn't know that. I thought I was doing my patriotic duty getting my flu shot. You're not. You're actually getting a bioweapon engineered by and for post-extinction humanity. I'm all about not post-extinction humanity. I can't get an amen because I'm not a preacher, but I think there's a time for an amen, and this would be one of those. We are not in post-extinction conversations. We're in forget about extinction. We're in today. And let's do the last one, 15 U.S. Code, Section 19, the interlocking directorates. This is one that says that you are not allowed to get companies that actually have competing interests to get together and fix prices. That's racketeering. It's all those nasty things. And guess what we have? We have Pfizer and Moderna and Anthony Fauci, all of them financial interested. We have Justin Trudeau. Oh, Dave, you're not going to be mean to a Canadian. They'll go, hey. Well, yeah, I am. I'm going to be mean to a Canadian because here we go. Justin Trudeau, who actually failed to disclose to any Canadian that the Canadian government gets a kickback for every one of the Pfizer and Moderna shots because Acuitas and Arbutus Pharmaceuticals, both out of British Columbia, are the ones that invented the lipid nanoparticle that is licensed to inject the pathogen into everybody. Canada wins every time there's a shot, which may explain why Justin Trudeau ordered 10 times more vaccines than there are Canadians, including the moose. Why would we need 10 times more doses than the sum total of all of Canada plus the moose? Well, it turns out it's racketeering. Because if I'm getting a kickback for every dollar I spend, guess what I get to do? I get to pocket a whole lot of money from all over the world, which is exactly what happened. We've gone through the civil code, but I want to only point out one of these because I have a short amount of time. 21 Code of Federal Regulations, subsection 50.24. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot give informed consent if you're coerced. Did you hear what I just said? You cannot give informed consent if you're coerced. And you can't do that not just because you can't do that. You can't do that because it's illegal to do it. So even if you did try to do it, you'd be breaking the law. And it is illegal to coerce any form of consent because last time I checked, coerced consent is rape. If we called it what it is, if we said that United Airlines is the pro-rape airline, if we said Costco or Walmart or Amazon were the pro-rape companies, do you know how many minutes we'd actually have people supporting that? That's why I told you to stop using the term vaccine. It's a bioweapon, call it what it is. And the act of injecting anything into a human being without their consent is violation of bodily integrity and it's rape. Call it what it is. You have all been told that Jacobson allegedly is the Supreme Court case that we all need to listen to because Jacobson said it's legal to immunize a population. Now, that's convenient if you're CNN and Sanjay Gupta and you have your head so far up your posterior that you actually can't even breathe. But if you were a sentient, air-breathing human being, you'd realize that Jacobson never said that anybody has an obligation or even a right to vaccinate anybody. Jacobson said, and you ready for this? Here's a good idea coming. Jacobson said, if you don't do it, you pay a $5 fine. I got an idea. Let's crowdsource everybody's $5 Jacobson premium. Let's just pass an offering plate. Let's just say, guess what? We're going to plead Jacobson. What if we stopped being anti-vax and we started being branded as pro-Jacobson? We reserve the right to pay a $5 fine and tell you to take your vaccine and stuff it up your own orifice. I think we could crowdsource that. And I think Americans would love to know that one of the options that was afforded under Jacobson is you could pay a $5 fine and not get the vax. That's what the Jacobson case actually says, and it never has and it never will say that you can be forced to be vaccinated. But this is the case we should look at even more, which is a Supreme Court case that nobody talks about from 1934, Home Building and Loan Association versus Bladesdell. And what makes this case important is the text, which is why I wanted to highlight it. Emergency does not create power. Emergency does not increase granted power or remove or diminish the restrictions imposed upon power. But let's jump to the bold. Remember that the Supreme Court in this decision was saying, hey, you know what? Emergency powers are important, but the Constitution was actually written during an emergency. Little known fact, there was a war going on. So to pretend that somehow or another the framers of the Constitution were all sitting, sipping French wine in Monticello, well, everything was just peaches and cream down in, I don't know, Boston or Philadelphia or Charleston, South Carolina. They weren't. It was in the middle of an active war. Important little fact. And look at what the Supreme Court exactly said. And they are not altered by emergency. No governor's declaration. No statement that has ever been made to coerce or cajole or manipulate your behavior whatsoever has even a foundational argument in the Supreme Court precedent that no one is talking about. Guess what we should start talking about, people? That. In 1774, King George committed what were called the Four Intolerable Acts. I've decided to give you the four intolerable acts of the COVID campaign of terror. And I'm giving you that because it's important that we realize that if we are going to plead our case in any position, whether it's in a courtroom, whether it's in a city council, whether it's a school board, we need to be correct, we need to be precise, and we need to stipulate the laws that have been violated. So let's go through. Amendment number one, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Guess what? Congress has weaseled their way into allowing the Department of Labor and the Commerce Clause to do their dirty work for them. Your First Amendment was violated by the Commerce Clause. Your First Amendment was violated by the way the Department of Labor currently operates. Because it turns out that Congress didn't pass a law that said that you had to get vaccinated, but I can tell you that there's a deafening silence, isn't there? Do you remember the executive order that the commander-in-chief, the bumbling Joe Biden, actually said we were going to have that mandate that everybody was going to have to be vaccinated? Remember that statement? And do you remember that he instructed the Department of Labor to come up with a rule that would actually enforce employers of over 100 people to all vaccinate their employees? And have you noticed the stunning silence of that mandate seems to never be forthcoming from the Department of Labor? Anybody notice that? Despite the fact that they're already claiming victory for the mandate that doesn't exist. Because they have established a law that in fact is the establishment of a religion. And here's the religion they believe in. The doctrine of Fauci. The doctrine of Fauci is very simple. You are asymptomatic carriers. You are a disease. There is only but one savior. and that is an NIAID-funded vaccine. You didn't take enough of it when we had influenza, so we're going to manufacture the illusion of a pathogen. We are going to create a domestic terrorism campaign so that you embrace the loving arms of that beautiful vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no mandate because there will be no mandate. They are playing on your fears. They are not playing on the law because they know this law. And they know that they are violating the Supreme Court rulings and the First Amendment in our Bill of Rights, if they even do it. Second, COVID Intolerable Act, Amendment 4 of our beautiful Constitution. Amendment 4, the right of people shall be secure in their persons, their houses, their papers, and their effects. You know what we never talk about? We never talk about the Fourth Amendment, but guess what's been violated by every single decree that every single governor and every single public health officer has done over the last 22 months? That. We are not secure in our homes. We're not secure in our businesses. We're not secure in our properties. We're not secure in our churches. We're not secure anywhere. And guess what? That doesn't say, except for the case of emergency. It says, you are secure, period. That's it. And it gets a little better. If you're not secure, you know whose burden of proof it is to prove that you've done something wrong? Not yours, theirs. Listen, people, I love to hear people talk about how rah-rah patriotic they are, and they're out there doing their things, but we're letting them do it. Stop. Stop reciting their doctrine of COVID and coronavirus. Stop reciting their doctrine of vaccines. Start using the language. Campaign of terror, bioweapon. Start using those languages and then actually show them, are you ready for this? Something tiny like the Bill of Rights. Amendment 5. Now, you are all law and order experts. I'm sure you've probably sat there listening to the cha-chong, your law and order moments. And you think that law and order, you know, the Fifth Amendment is, hey, I don't have to incriminate myself. But the Fifth Amendment does a little bit more. Can you look at that bottom phrase in the Fifth Amendment that we never talk about? Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. How many of you small business owners have gotten just compensation for your business closures? Anybody? How many physicians have gotten just compensation for lost revenue? How many people have been maligned like me and so many of the speakers who are coming today and tomorrow? How many of us have gotten just compensation for the seizure of our property in the form of our means of communication, our networks, our social media, our everything else, the ways in which we communicate? How many of us have gotten any just compensation for that? We've not just not gotten just compensation, ladies and gentlemen. We've been deprived of our liberties, and we've been deprived of the rights granted under this document. And it is absolutely critical that we see that they knew they were doing it because they actually changed their own definitions of words like vaccine and public health and emergency to accommodate their acts of terror. Amendment 6, due process. Anybody think that we've had any due process over the last 22 months? Not one. Hey, listen, I'm showing you these things, people, because you weren't taught these things in history lessons in school, and you weren't taught them so that you would be victims of this perpetrated crime. If you don't know the laws that are being broken, guess what? You get your information from sources like media. You get your sources from Twitter feeds. You get your sources from crazy things, rather than actually going back and going, oh, you mean we actually had a law and it's been actually violated? Yes, sir. We have had a law. It's been violated. And if we go through the Amendment 6, it's not only important that we have speedy trial, but the informed of the nature and the cause of accusation. Let's unpack that one for a minute. How many of you think there'd be a successful prosecution in this country if the following information was presented by every single person charged with any violation of any public health order? Let's go through them really quick. A bioweapon was created for infectious replication defective targeting of human lung epithelium in 1999 by Anthony Fauci. In 2003, the CDC patented the genome, the entire genome, the nature genome, the illegal patent granted to CDC in 2007 after being thrice rejected by the patent office as illegal. You heard me say that. The CDC three times had to fight to get an illegal patent granted. And when in 2007 they got that patent granted, they actually controlled the provenance of everything that had anything to do with SARS coronavirus from that day forward. We the people sat and did nothing. How about in 2012 and 2013, when mysteriously six viral models were uploaded in violation of biological and chemical weapons laws in this country, uploaded to a server from China because they were collected from six miners in China. They were uploaded to a server in violation of our domestic terrorism and our bioweapons laws here in the United States. And we had, by written confirmation from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, in 2015, we have Ralph Baric in his own writing stating that he uploaded the bioweapon information that came from China and started manufacturing it here in the United States. Did you hear what I just said? At this point, it's really important to point out, I haven't done a lot of research. I've been following this particular crime as it has unfolded since 1999. You are looking at the face of the guy who was the guy investigating anthrax in September of 2001. That's when I started this. I've been at this game longer than most people even knew there was a game to be at, and certainly longer than anybody who's actually said that they are really deep into COVID. Well, guess what? This is deep. And the point of this presentation is to make sure each and every one of you is equipped, because this is not about getting you excited. This is about getting you armed with information, because we have a war that has not started. The war that has not started is for the soul of this country. And the weapon that is being used is a genetic chimeric altered bioweapon called the S1 spike protein synthesis compound that is being delivered in a toxin that we know has killed every animal trial that has ever gotten off the ground. So to quote the actual associate vice provost of one of the leading medical institutions here in America, she was told when the institutional review board at her institution in California was asked to review the protocol for this particular vaccine, and she asked, where are the animal data? She was told, and I quote, this is a straight-to-humans protocol. Did you hear what I just said? It's killed every animal study it's ever gone into. It's killed every animal trial that's ever been done, and this is a straight-to-humans protocol. Ladies and gentlemen, call it what it is. It's premeditated murder. Stop dancing on the side of this thing and jump in the pool. And on our watch, we should not let a single attorney general or U.S. attorney, we should not let a single elected official, we should not let a single public health officer get away with any public statement that does not confirm that this is a bioweapons program meant to destroy, maim, and kill the citizens of the United States and the people of the world. This is a crime, and we need to start treating it like a crime instead of watching a bank robber walk out of a bank and calling the Uber for them. This is about getting Anthony Fauci cuffed and perp walked. That's what this is about.
That was Dr. David Martin. We now hear from Dr. Julie Panass, a Canadian ethics professor, who was fired for refusing to take the experimental shot. She spoke at the Faith and Democracy series discussing the moral obligation to stand against medical tyranny and a culture that refuses to disobey an oppressively wicked agenda. Let's have a listen.
Consider these facts. First, COVID-19 has an infection fatality rate not even 1% that of smallpox, and it poses even less risk to children. Second, a number of safe, highly effective pharmaceuticals exist to treat it, including monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, fluvoxamine, vitamin D, and zinc. And third, the vaccines have reported more adverse events, including innumerable deaths, than every other vaccine on the market in the last 30 years. In light of these facts, I have so many questions. Why are the vaccinated granted vaccine passports and access to public spaces when the director of the CDC has stated that the COVID-19 vaccines cannot prevent transmission? Why is vaccination the only mitigation strategy when emerging evidence, including a recent Harvard study, this was in September of this year, shows no discernible relationship between the vaccination rate and new cases? No discernible relationship at all. Why does our government continue to withhold ivermectin as a recommended treatment when the U.S. National Institutes of Health supports it, and when the state of Uttar Pradesh in India distributed it to its 230 million people, reducing the COVID death rate to almost zero? How has India surpassed Canada in healthcare? Why are we about to vaccinate five-year-olds when COVID poses less risk to them than the potential vaccine reactions, and while there is no effective monitoring system for the vaccines? Why are we focused on the narrow benefits of vaccine-induced immunity when real-world studies show natural immunity is more protective, more potent, and more enduring? Why, maybe someone can give me an answer to this one, why do we shame the vaccine hesitant and not the vaccine adamant? Why, as a nurse recently asked, do the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that did not protect the protected in the first place? By every measure and from every angle, this is a house of cards about to crumble. But the question that interests me is, why hasn't it crumbled already? Why are these questions not the headlines of every major newspaper in Canada every single day? Have the right people simply not seen the right data? Is it just a clinical error on a global scale? What has happened to our leadership? Our Prime Minister leads the battle cry, "Don't think you're getting on a plane," he threatened. Campaign promises are now segregationist public policy. Our government encourages us daily to be divisive and hateful. How did things change so drastically? How did we Canadians change so drastically? It's my observation that we are facing a pandemic, not just of a virus, but a pandemic of compliance and complacency in a culture of silence, censorship, and institutionalized bullying. Yeah. Mainstream media, you know, they like to say that we are fighting a war of information, that misinformation, even questioning and doubt, have plagued the pandemic. But it is not only information that is being weaponized in this war. It is a person's right to think for herself. I've heard it said that, well, I don't know very much about viruses, so I shouldn't really have an opinion. But the issue is not whether or not you know more about virology than our public health officials. The issue is, why aren't we calling them out for not being willing to engage with the evidence and debate someone who has a different opinion? We should be calling not for an outcome, but for a process to be reestablished. Without that process, we have no science, we have no democracy. Without that process, we are in a kind of moral war. But the wars of the past have had clear and distinct boundaries, the East and the West, the patriots and the government. And the war we find ourselves in today is one of infiltration instead of invasion, intimidation instead of free choice, of psychological forces that are so insidious we come to believe that the ideas are our own and that we are doing our part by giving up our rights. As a wise colleague recently put it, this is a war about the role of government, It is about our freedom to think and ask questions, and about whether individual autonomy can be downgraded to a conditional privilege or whether it remains a right. It is a war about whether you are to remain a citizen or become a subject. It is about who owns you, you or the state. It is about where we draw the line. This isn't about, you know, liberals and conservatives, pro and anti-vaxxers, experts and lay people. Everyone should care about the truth. Everyone should care about the scientific and democratic processes. Everyone should care about each other. There is, I would argue, little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our freedom to debate, to criticize, to demand evidence for what our government asks of us does not survive with it. As someone born in the 70s, I never thought this would be a war I would have to fight, that the right to bodily autonomy, to the free and transparent exchange of information, would be at risk. Think for a minute about the most unimaginable harms of the last century, the Final Solution, South African apartheid, the Rwandan and Cambodian genocides. Aren't we supposed to remember the atrocities of the past so we don't repeat them? Well, memories are short, family chains are broken, new worries eclipse the old ones, and the lessons of the past fade into ancient history only to be forgotten. Today, the vaccinated seem to enjoy all the rights and privilege of a civilized society: freedom of movement, access to education, the approval of governments, lawmakers, journalists, friends, and family. Vaccination is the ticket to a conditional return of our right to participate in Canadian society. But as John F. Kennedy said, the rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened.
That was Dr. Julie Poness, a Canadian ethics professor who was fired for refusing to take the experimental shot. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.